The Off the Ball Podcast Network. Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now, excited to say we are joined by Ronan O'Gara. Hello, Ronan.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very well. It's been a long time. How are you keeping?
Yeah, I'm good. Good, yeah. Not too bad. Digging away here. I don't know, is the hole getting bigger or am I going okay? But it's, yeah, tough going at the minute over here, but that's what I expected. So just hanging in there.
You keep digging and then people will start throwing in soil on top of you then as you work away.
Yeah, no, it's... the Champions Cup is such a great competition that you'd like to have gone a bit better, but that's the way it is. Exeter were a good team, half chances that we gave them, they took, and against Sale, we were way too ill-disciplined, so that just doesn't work away from home, unfortunately.
I'll come to Europe in just one moment. Just to get an overall sense of how things are going, if I can, looking at La Rochelle in the top 14, five defeats, four wins, there's a very obvious pattern, frankly, which is you've won all your home games and you've lost all your away games. It's the most cliched French thing I could even imagine. Is it that simple or what's been going on generally?
No, that isn't really, no. I think we had opportunities. We wouldn't have beaten Clermont in the first game, but we had an opportunity to potentially get a bonus point. We could have beaten Montpellier away, but we didn't put them away in the first half. And that's what happens in France. You kind of have to be nearly 10 points clear being the away team, because the home team usually has a purple patch with the last 10 minutes to go with the crowd behind them. Bayonne was probably the most disappointing. We were well clear and they got a red card and put their players in fair and some rows to that game, and they came back at us. So we've had opportunities. I suppose the most pleasing aspect of it all is the fact that you do feel you're getting better, and you do feel that players are buying in. And once you have that, it makes makes I suppose you appreciate that you're working with a good group.
Mm. So you have not felt any need to address any attitude towards away form or anything like that?
Of course, yeah, because obviously we don't look upon it in terms of winning, losing. We're trying to get a base level performance, and we haven't got that in any game in terms of home or away, because we've played in dribs and drabs, but that's not good enough. But it's 10 games in now into the season, so it'll be 10 league games into it this weekend, so there's very little between a lot of the teams. Obviously Bordeaux and Lyon are runaway leaders, but everything else is to play for, so
yeah,
we just have to look at that.
Well, you're in the same points as Racing in the table, one behind Toulouse. 10 games in, are you asking the team to do very different things? Are they working with a new defensive system and new things in attack? Are you all adjusting to each other, or has there been a degree of continuity from before?
No,
you took
I think
over
it would be. It would have been very different, I think, from talking to a lot of the players. So you're essentially trying to create, I suppose, strong bases to, create pillars of performance. So you want to have a strong set piece. You want to have a good defence. In winter, you need to have a good kicking game in France. Yeah. And, obviously you need to have a good attack game. So there's loads to work on, Joe, but I suppose you have to be realistic and what you can bite off to and achieve.
Sure. People will remember 2 years ago, certainly, around this time of year, La Rochelle going to Belfast and sticking 41 points on Ulster and getting out of that pool. They lost in the quarterfinal away to Scarlets, but certainly showed a certain appetite for Europe and a bit of pedigree there. This year, I presume, given your history in the competition, you wanted to go well in Europe and were targeting getting out of the pool, or was domestic issues more the issue?
No, you wanted to do well. Of course, yeah, I think if you're there and you want to give it your best shot. And to be fair, if you picked up the paper and had a look at the result against Exeter, you would have thought, that they did a big number on us. But in reality, it was a little bit different. Game kind of swayed on. We were 14-5 down after 52 minutes, I think. We had a great opportunity. But in fairness to Slade, who was extremely sharp all day, he picked off an intercept, a long pass, which favours obviously the defence. Ball in the air favours the defence. So we're kind of working on shorter passing game, but he picked it off, and that was kind of a 14-point swing, and they're out of sight at 21-5. Mm. So if we could kind of pressurise them to get to 14-10, even 14-12, it could have been a different game, but the better team won, no problem admitting that. And the weekend, you know, I mean, away from home, you need 15 on the pitch, never mind 14, and we had 13 at stages. That was disappointing, but the flip side of that then was, I suppose, the boys never threw in the towel, and that's admirable.
Yeah, that finished 25-15. At the point where you went down to 14 men, there was only a three-point game just before half-time. And you had a man in the sin bin, and then your hooker, Pierre Bourguery, was sent off really for an alleged eye gouge. The referee, Andy Brace, went over to your captain and said he's clearly put a finger to the eye. I think everybody in the stadium realised. And judging by your demeanour, you seem to realise as well what had happened. So how do you handle a situation like that with a player who's done something like that?
Well, yeah, I suppose I have to be a little bit careful, sure, because there's an official meeting tomorrow, hearing. So I think on our next chat, we'll be able to talk accurately about that, because, you know, I think the perception and the reality may be different. But if, depending on how the hearing goes, I think, Joe, it's better if I come and probably after that event, because I'm official.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair enough. I think people understand you're in that position. But yeah, then after that, 6 minutes into the second half, well, you're down, you had 14 men, and then there's another yellow card and you're down to 13 men. Has discipline been an issue for the team generally? I mean, what was your reaction when you saw all this in broad terms?
No, because the week previously was excellent, and that's against, you know, probably a more proven team or more successful team in England than Exeter. I know we were at home, but I think, I suppose there was a level of disappointment with potentially the breakdown, how it was refereed at the weekend, and there's different interpretation, and there's, you know, I think when you have Faf de Klerk and you have Tom Curry, they probably have a say how it goes. But on the other side, we had Victor Vito captaining us. So in that regard, our discipline wasn't good enough, no doubt about it. Disappointing on the day, but has it been a consistent theme? Yes, it has. Started the season, then got much better, got worse, got much better, much better. And then I think a record level of 16 penalties at the weekend.
Mm. So how do you address something like that?
I think you have to educate players. I have to educate my players. You have to actually show them what are non-negotiable. Then you have to actually show them if there is such a good thing as a penalty, which there are in certain cases. But then, obviously, they didn't get penalised in the scrum. We got penalised four times in scrum time. So then you're down to 12. We had another one for yellow card for, you know, potential early tackle try saving scenario. I don't think you can have any issue with that. Jeffrey Dumourou stood on a player's hand. That's normally a yellow card, so we probably got away with one there. I think putting players in potential scenarios about, when is it a good time to give a penalty and when isn't it? And then obviously we've got to understand, we did actually profile the referee and we actually listened to him before the game, but unfortunately we'd either misunderstood the message or he didn't referee how he would say it throughout the game.
Okay. This is obviously your first time in head coach role. You're a few months into it now. Has it been largely as you expected, or have you been surprised or blindsided by any aspects of the job?
No, I think along what I expected. Very, very exciting, very interesting, challenging, obviously, but that's what top-level sport's about. It's, you need to have perseverance. You need to, have a dogged determination. So probably going through a disappointing patch, no doubt about that, but the wheel will turn most definitely.
I guess that's the voice of experience speaking there, because you've been through run-of-the-mill moments before. Are the local press giving the team stick, or is there increased scrutiny post World Cup? What's that kind of cocktail locally been like?
Yeah, I think there would be the question marks raised, obviously, with a foreign director of rugby and a foreign head coach. We're in France, so that would be the first thing they'd look at. But I think the most important thing is that the values of the club are respected. And I think once the players show the effort they're shown, I think they'll stick with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's all you can do in many respects. It was noticeable John O'Gibbs was there beside you on match day. Is that the usual thing? Are you watching the matches in tandem together?
No, sometimes he's down at pitch level, just depending on... I like being up high. I think it's important that I kind of get a view of where the space is potentially. And obviously, I like him being kind of down at the pitch side. But for Europe, he's up high, and that's how it works. But it's only two games into it, I think, you know.
And are you emerging as a complete control freak as a head coach, or are you able to delegate a bit of control?
Most definitely control. You have to, I think. It's that would be my personality too, I think. You just, especially my experience with the Crusaders, I think you can see the value of unity or shared ideas and shared responsibilities. Obviously, you find yourself probably telling a lot more than I'd like to. You'd like to be, I think player-led a little bit more, but with the challenge with the language barrier and with games backing up every week, you find your days just passing you by, Joe, and that's something which isn't great. Sometimes less is more, but at the minute, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and where does family time come into it, and switching off and not getting too stressed yourself or worn down?
No, I'm good at that. I just, I don't know, am I good at that? tomorrow has Players' Day off, but that's the big change. I think the fact when you are a specialist coach or defence coach or attack coach or backs coach, you could just nail your area. Now your area strays into everything.
Yeah.
But you have to realise that you can't impact everything. And the most important thing for me is that I feel that the players can approach me and that you have a hunger and an appetite to be full of energy in front of your players.
Okay, well, it's Castro away this Saturday and then Europe for the following 2 weeks. As for the competition generally at the weekend, I know you managed to catch quite a few of the Irish provinces. Very interested to know what you made of Munster and Racing's game. It was a great game, it was a very enjoyable watch as well. Munster probably felt they were about to lose it and then were kicking themselves because they could have easily won it. JJ Hanrahan finds himself in that position where all the good stuff he's done in the game, and there's lots of it, you then kind of have your performance a little bit assessed by the drop goal at the very end. But he seemed to be good, and people liked what they saw from Munster in general play. What were you seeing?
Yeah, it was. It was a great game, I think. They're the two clubs I know particularly well, obviously. And I think tactically, I thought Racing were excellent. I really thought they got their game plan right. I think Teddy Eberlin was running the show. And then you have, when you get Finn Russell in form like that, he's very, very exciting and very dangerous. But I think a lot of the plaudits would go to Dunnick O'Ryan. I think having played with him and obviously coached him, he's a genius around the line out. I think they made a mess of Munster's line out. He had a big impact in that. Munster couldn't get their set piece game going at all. And honestly, I thought, looking at it, you thought Racing could be easily 20 points clear, but that's the beauty of Munster. Unless you literally have to keep your foot on the throat and stamp on them, because you won't knock them out. And they had no right to even draw that game, let alone they'll be disappointed probably that they didn't win the game. But all credit to them for hanging in there. Yeah. They're on the ropes on so many occasions. You know, you saw the class of Wim Hof, you saw the class of Teddy Thomas, but Munster just... and their supporters, I think it's more to do with the supporters as well. They just refused to die, and that was another perfect example of why they have such a good record in Thomond Park. It was a great game, good standard, dry ball, great wit in the game, great pace in the game. Racing came to play. I think their skills made sure that they were in that position to play. Give a tip of the hat to Mike Prendergast. I think tactically he got it spot on. They didn't play too much in their own half, and they troubled Munster, but they couldn't kill them. And then Munster came back, and as you said, brilliant conversion from JJ Hanlon after an exquisite pass. And then there looks like only one winner, but you know, that's the beauty of a drop goal in terms of when do you take it.
Yeah.
Probably got too near the post if you could comment on it, you know, as a kicker or a former kicker, you probably want that in a kick zone as opposed to in a chip zone. And when it went into the chip zone, I think it becomes a little bit more difficult.
And could he drop? He could have dropped deeper into the pocket then, could he, to buy himself a few more metres back?
But I probably thought maybe three or four phases earlier that was the time to do it.
Yeah.
That's one opinion in 20,000. You know, I think.
In fairness, your opinion
once
probably
it becomes central. It becomes.
Your opinion probably carries a bit more weight than the other 20,000. How did you pick your moment? What was too close to goal for you?
I just think any time the ball becomes static, it becomes problematic. You know, obviously the easiest one for people to picture, to analyse or visualise is with the drop goal against Wales. Once the defence is in a set position in the starting blocks positions, where they're in sprint position, it makes you change your technique, because by the time you get the pass and you have to get the ball in the air, the advantage is with the defence. But once you actually have a maul going forward, or any bit of a forward carry, the unexpected factor, i.e. Johnny against France in Stade de France, he fooled everyone. But probably that was more a distance issue. But once it comes in, you know there's only one thing. But he just got it on the inside of his foot. Can easily happen. That happens.
But as a kicker, you don't want to be thinking to yourself, I'm about to be charged down, I need to scoop this up early.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you do. But as you say, the flip side to the argument, Joe, is you just take another 7 metres depth.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure that your nine stings your hands with the pass. That's what you want.
And Camille, do you get a residual kind of flicker in your quad muscle as you're watching them build up for the goal? Your foot starts tapping, does it?
No, but I think I'd love to have seen JJ do that, because he's had a fair bit of adversity, and that kick from the touchline was brilliant. And I think, you know, I mean, from a very selfish point of view, it's why you do all the extras. You're kind of 20 minutes at the end of every team session, and then while your day off is taken up with that's for moments like that. But when you keep knocking on the door will knock down eventually, so he'll get it the next time.
And I'm sure Munster fans will be looking for general thoughts on Stephen Larkham and his fingerprints, and to what extent they're on the performance. There was a moment in the second half, and there was Munster were under the cosh a bit, and they got a line out around halfway, and they put a lovely kind of little wraparound type play, and they got out wide. They made big meters as well, and I did find myself thinking, I don't know how often we have seen that in high level games from Munster in the past, and I did wonder, is that Larkham?
Without a shadow of a doubt, there's a definite, like I would say, in previous regimes, that would be catch and drive box kick.
Yeah.
But you could see that was, I would say, Larkham's print all over that. He was probably disappointed, I think, with such a good opportunity, they didn't finish it. It was that good, you're right. It was a brilliant, beautiful set play. And I don't recall actually who stuck who in the pass, but it was a missed opportunity because of the work done in the inside. But as you say, a big positive, and you just have to put the finishing touch to it.
Yeah, and the finishing touch, I was about to say it, they put it together very well. So I was going to say, there's a skill set there, but I suppose the finish is all important as well, and they'll develop that, I guess. Maybe some of those players aren't used to being in those situations as much.
Yeah, that's a fair point, exactly. But I think that's the mentality of good teams, that you strike to score. So our first phase, they'd be looking to score. Because, you know what I mean, you have 16 forwards tied in either in a scrum or 14 in a line out, so the space is for backline against backline. So that's still what makes rugby exciting, that you still, people give out about all the rush defence, but there's still opportunities. It's a case of identifying it, and as you say, being able to execute under pressure.
We don't have time to talk really about the other provinces. We're going to do Connacht and a bit of depth tomorrow, and we'll do Ulster's win against Claremont as well. Just one question on Leinster's win away to Leon. Kind of a strange game in some respects, obviously, because they didn't score for so long after going 10-0 up. How good is this Leon team? Another top of the table. Like, maybe we're underestimating how good a win this was. Are Leon in a false position?
Leinster were really good. It was a comfortable victory. Managed the game. You can say they didn't score for 50 odd minutes, but I think they set down their marker early in their game. Championship teams like Leinster, they show different traits at different stages of the season. They were dogged on Saturday. They knew how to get over the line. That's what leaders do. They have plenty of them in their team. They took the life out of Leon. Leon didn't really pose many threats for Leinster. Was a comfortable win. The scoreline doesn't suggest that, but in terms of the body language, in terms of squeezing the life out of Leon, Leinster did a great job.
Right. And how good that Leon team are good, are they? They're going to be...
Yeah, they're very good, especially at home. Sorry, I'm talking about top 14, but it's a different mindset altogether. And I think French teams probably underappreciate, because you've 26 league games, for them, every Saturday is the same, even though there is a big jump to Champions Cup level. But it's hard to change the machine that quickly, Joe. I think where you play in the Pro 14, or you play, you know, in Ireland, Scotland, or Wales, these are the six games that everyone lives for.
Let you go. Good luck Saturday. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe. Great to chat. See you. Thanks.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.